Time for this week's Sports Lit 101 with Bruce Pratt here in studio with us to talk about a book with a couple of friends of the show.
Yeah, it's called Business the NHL Way. It's co-authored, as was Sports Business Unplugged, which we talked about with the authors before. Rick Burton is the David B. Falk Professor of Sport Management at Syracuse, former commissioner of the Australian National Basketball League, and we know a very fine poet after having heard some of his poetry. Norm O'Reilly is currently the dean of the Graduate School of Business at the University of Maine. He's got a long career of very successful things, including working with the NHL in the past. And it's an interesting book. I have never read a book like this before. And I got two things I have to say ahead of time. The foreword is by Gary Bettman. The afterword is by Haley Wickenheiser. It's got a ringing endorsement from Sean McDonough. So there are a lot of people in different areas of sport that have commented on this. I still am not convinced that I can like Gary Bettman on any level, and will never forget holding the 205 canceled season against him. But what's really interesting, this book is about the business of the NHL and what the NHL did right in terms of its business plan from about the time Bettman took over. They make a very interesting point in one of the middle chapters, and it's something that I have never really thought about. You know, on the playground, if you say you're a copycat, you're putting somebody down. But if you were working for a company and you saw another company that was doing something really well and you adopted their business plan and you did very well as a result, yeah, you'd be a copycat. But that would be a really smart thing to do. And so what it they make the case, O'Reilly and Burton make the case, that the NHL took a look at the NFL and said, what are the things that they do right that we're not doing? And how can we make that work in hockey? Now, the amount of money that is available to teams now through revenue sharing has made the idea of the big market, small market less important than it certainly used to be. Toronto Maple Leafs have not won the Stanley Cup since 1967. There are 6.5 million people in Greater Toronto. So the fact that that's the case, you know, while in that time Calgary has won, which I think is about a million people, and you've had, you know, smaller cities win or come close to winning the cup. So they take a look at all the things that businessmen could take from watching the growth of the NHL, not the other way around. And so it's fascinating the way they've set this book up. There are a couple of really two other things I want to highlight. One, this is written in a very direct, very easy to understand way, without sacrificing content. And I find so many books that have to do with business of sports these days it's just full of jargon and full of buzzwords and full of hyperbole. There's none of that in here. It's a very reasoned assessment as you go through. The book is set up into different sections, and it never loses sight of the fact that it's being written by two people who love hockey. And as I think McDonough said, they're reverential respect for the game. The way they do it is they begin by saying, you know, it starts at the top. Now, here's what I would say. I believe that the best run league for the last 50 years has been the NBA. I think David Stern was a better commissioner than anybody else in any of the other leagues in terms of delivering both quality, player stability, lack of labor troubles, mm-hmm. and above all, a respect for the people who play the game. You never got the feeling it was the players pitted against the owners in the NBA. I mean, there may have been some of that, but if it was out of public view. Now, Stern was indeed Gary Bettman's mentor, right? Because Bettman worked for Stern in the NBA before he came over. O'Reilly and Burton would take the position, and they know a lot about these things. So even though I still don't like Gary Bettman, they said that was a brilliant move because he came from outside hockey. He didn't think the way people always thought in hockey. He wasn't going to be the next commissioner who was like the last commissioner. And as a result, in 2005, when they canceled the season, The argument would be that the CBA that came out of that, the collective bargaining agreement came out of that, in the long run benefited everybody. My objection, Alexander Ovechkin lost a year of chasing Wayne Gretzky. Mm. Jaromir Jagr and Mark Messier were headed towards major milestones. They ended up retiring from the NHL after that because they didn't play for a year and a half. I don't know why they had to cancel the whole season. To this day, I don't. But these guys do something I like in literature. One of my favorite writers is Liam O'Flaherty, the Irish writer, mostly known for his short stories, a couple of his novels. And he said that a great writer should seek a certain coldness. What he meant was the author should be detached from the story. And I think that that's what goes on here. They detach themselves from their personal deep feelings about certain things and try and analyze them in an objective way. That's not always easy, especially because we're not talking about people who loved hockey and who played hockey as young kids who know a lot about hockey. They're not casual fans. The other thing that's pretty interesting about this is though they do a lot of, they have sections called Rick or Norm recalls. They're little sections about things that are very personal to them about certain events. But they then go on to analyze those in terms of other things that are happening in hockey at the time. In chapter 6, which is called Brand New Offerings with Creativity, they look at how the first period in NHL history is 1942 to 67, the original 6 years. Everything rolled along. Everything was stable. Everything was wonderful. And of course, there was no free agency to speak of. There was no movement. Players were treated like chattel. When they expanded, I think a lot of people forget is that by 1991, there were 21 teams. They added six in one fell swoop in 1968, 69, whenever that was. That they've added two now to get to 32. Hockey now has more professional teams in the United States and Canada, major team, NHL teams, than there are Major League Baseball teams. And you can see a shift, an almost seismic shift, in the way that baseball once dominated every corner of the country, and yet the state of Texas has more professional hockey teams than any other. Why? Because the NHL took a look and said, when we look at the future, what do we have to do? We have to create a brand. And everybody goes, well, he goes well in the South because of the fighting. There is an average of 0.17 fights per game in hockey now. There was a time when that was like 3.6. So the violence in hockey has gone down. The NHL addressed the kind of violence that was they have evolved with the public's desire to see hockey played a certain way. Yeah, they're the old time guys, the people that, you know, they've taken everything out. No, they haven't. Actually, the NHL is a much better product. When they had the players, when they had the lockout in 05, what did we get out of that for the players? They changed the rules against the clutching and grabbing, the kind of stuff that the Devils were doing. It opened up the game. There are more goals. It's faster. They became much more consistent in what is called a penalty. Now, that varies game to game, referee to referee, but they've tried to do things which you can look at other leagues. Maybe other leagues have not quite done as well. I would argue that baseball took a look at that and said, why is hockey gaining on us? And maybe that's why we have this pitch clock and batters having to be ready and games moving a little faster and people seem to be amped up about this. We're going to have on May 10th, Norm and Rick will be joining us to talk about this in greater depth. So I don't want to steal all their thunder, but if you really want to, if you're a business person, whether you have a small business or you're the leader of a Fortune 500 company, looking at this and seeing how tactics that the NHL and other sports teams have applied to their business model that you can apply to yours is pretty fascinating. And I never would have thought about that. And quite frankly, if I didn't know these two authors, I'm not sure I would have looked at the book, which would have been a mistake, because it's a very, very good book. And it's from the University of Toronto.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking with them. And next week, we get a chance to talk with our friend David Krell about his terrific new book on 1966, Do You Believe in Magic?
Yeah, and you know, as much as we loved his previous book, 1962, I like this one even better.
Nice.
It's really, really good. I'm really looking forward to it. David says he'll keep his answers short. He asked me how much time we had, and I told him, I'll keep my answers short.
Well, we make a little extra time for Dave.
That's what I told him. I said, I don't think we're going to be squeezed on the other side, so we'll have time.
Excellent. That's coming up next week on Sports Live 101.